You know that my topic is on prayer. The deepest desire of the human heart is to be united to God. Why do I make that statement? Because in Jeremiah, God himself placed that attraction for himself in all mankind. And you can read it in Jeremiah 31:33. And that is your deepest desire. St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And he should have known, because he didn't rest in the heart of Jesus till he was pretty old. And then he'd had a pretty exciting life, shall we say, beforehand, but there was nothing so exciting until he found God. Now, it's in prayer that we speak of God and seek to touch his heart, and in turn God speaks to us and opens his heart to us. So it's a two-way conversation. It's not a monologue. Prayer is never a monologue. Prayer is never, "Speak, Lord." It's always, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Not, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." That's not right. So it's in prayer that we speak to God to touch his heart. Will touch our hearts, and he speaks to us. Now, I was particularly touched this morning at Mass. Father Stan gave a short homily, and he said that the reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians this morning, the first reading, was one of the most important talks or letters from St. Paul or in Scripture about prayer. And I'm just going to read from Ephesians what he meant there. It's the most important lesson on prayer. "That he, the Father, may grant you in accord with the wishes of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit." So we get power when we pray. In the inner self, prayer is not necessarily external. We'll talk all about that. But it's in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith is always necessary in our religion. "That rooted, grounded in love." Love is the beginning of anything in our religion. Love. Beginning, middle, and end. "In your hearts through faith, that rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, just to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God." And we're going to do that tonight. Hopefully, learn to do it a little bit by the talk on prayer. The sign of the cross we've already done when we did the Mass. As I say here, it's an act of faith and trust. If you can't do anything else, you're too sick to do anything else, you can always say in your mind, if you can't make it with your hand, "In the name of the Father," or even with your thumb on your forehead or somewhere else on your body, you can say, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," and you've said a wonderful prayer. It indicates symbolically the figure of Christ's cross, and as St. Cyril said in his catechesis way back in 315, "Let us not be ashamed to confess the crucified." When you go out to eat, don't be afraid to make the sign of the cross and say, "Bless me, Father," "Bless our food," I should say, "Bless me, Father," is when we're going to confession. "Be the cross our seal, made with boldness by our fingers on our brow." We know that we start Mass. Mass often has in it, and we end Mass with the sign of the cross. "And in everything, over the bread that we eat, the cups we drink, in our comings, goings, before our sleep, when we lie down, and when we wake, if we wake in the middle of the night, keep saying, keep making the sign of the cross. You're bound to go to sleep. When we lie down, when we awake, when we are traveling, when we are at rest. If we can't do anything else, we can at least in our minds make the sign of the cross. Okay? Now, just as in sports and in music and in dance and whatever else you do, we usually have a role model, so we do in prayer. The role model, of course, is Jesus. Jesus, filial, and you notice I've got red, filial in red. Filial meaning his son. He was the son of God, so that's his prayer. How was it done? In solitude. Solitude, we can be in solitude, or I can be in solitude, you can be in solitude in this room full of people. Solitude is not necessarily physical. It can be physical, and our Lord made it easier, I guess, for himself, because he did usually went by himself and prayed in solitude. But you can be in the traveling the metro and saying a prayer and concentrating only on God so that you blot out everyone else that's in there. You are praying in solitude. And that's the way we must pray, because prayer is always inner. He prayed with a loving adherence to the Father's will. And I want you all just to close your eyes for a moment and picture yourself in the agony in the garden, with our Lord in the garden, in his agony. He had taken all his apostles after he had given them the Eucharist. He took all his apostles to the garden, left most of them at the gate, and then took three of them, Peter, James, and John, with him and said, "Stay here and watch with me so you don't enter into temptation." Because he knew that in a little while he was going to be suffering his crucifixion. So, but what did he say when he went up a little farther, a stone's throw, by himself in solitude? He said, "Father, if it be possible, take this chalice from me, but not as I will, but as you will." And so always we pray with a loving adherence to the Father's will. He was always confident in being heard, even though three times he had to say this prayer before the Father sent him an angel. He had to sweat blood and everything else first. He always prayed with filial boldness. We are all children of God. And we really are children of God. When you're baptized, you join the family of God particularly. But you're all created by God, equal in his eyes. So you're all children of God. And so we can also pray with the same filial boldness as children of God. With a pure heart, if you have something against your neighbor, make sure you go and fix that up first, then come and pray. And thanksgiving, we'll see in a moment, that's one kind of prayer. And Jesus, though he was God, learned to pray from his mother, the mother of God. He had to learn to pray. He had to learn his prayers. He went to the synagogue with his mother. He learned how to pray in the synagogue. He learned the Torah. He learned the Psalms. He learned everything through his mother. So we say Jesus is the way of our prayer, and Mary shows us the way. All right, now what was the very first prayer? Actually, the Catholic Catechism says that it's Abraham that we have the first, with our father Abraham, that prayer is revealed in the Old Testament. But the first prayer was asked of Adam and Eve in the garden when they decided that they wanted to be God or like God. They were like God. I don't know what else they wanted. They had everything. And they knew everything too, just like he did. But he told them, don't eat of that tree there, or of those two trees, I guess, of that tree. And they were disobedient. So they wanted to be, they thought, there's something we don't know. Yes, they learned in a hurry what they didn't know. But where are you? God asked Adam and Eve after they fell. When they ate of the fruit, they hid themselves because they saw that they were naked. How did you know that you were naked? He said God to them. He said, before that, they didn't know anything, there was anything wrong with that. But then, so he asked them, where are you? They hid themselves. But he's still asking every one of us that question. Where are you? Won't you come and spend a little time with me, is what he's saying. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So God has always called people to prayer, and he wants us to establish that perfect relationship with every one of us, each one of us, that he had with Adam and Eve before they fell. And what I have the third point there, God always initiates the conversation. Whenever we pray, it's not we who are doing everything or anything. God initiates the conversation. We, through the Holy Spirit, respond, and therefore we are praying. But if God does not initiate that conversation with us, we don't pray. And I just want to read a couple of things here about the Spirit. Our response comes from the free will by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. In Romans, and if you want to begin with any of St. Paul's letters for meditation, begin with Romans, the first letter that was written by St. Paul, because it's full of everything that you would want to meditate upon. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And from the Catholic Catechism, in prayer, the faithful God's initiative of love always comes first. Our own first step is always the response. As God gradually reveals himself to us, he doesn't just pounce himself upon us and there we are. He reveals himself gradually, and he reveals man to himself. If you don't know yourself, you can't pray very well either. You can't pray to God. God shows us ourselves, what we are, and what he expects of us, and he shows himself. And then ours is a reciprocal. That means we talk back to him. Through words and actions and thoughts, the drama engages the heart, and it unfolds throughout the whole history of salvation. And remember that you can have a lot up here, but if you don't bring it down here, it's not so good. So make sure you do. The next one. I was very surprised. My husband and I went to a very old movie the other day, and it was about a journalist baron. And in it he said he was giving a lecture, or at least his teacher was giving a lecture, and she said, "What are the things that make a good article?" So he pops up and he says, "The answer to the questions who or what, why, when, where, how." You've got a good article. You can answer all those questions and embellish them. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to answer, we've already done who. Jesus is our role model. What is prayer? And I've just taken about five quotations from saints who should know what prayer was. Prayer for St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, was a surge of the heart. You've heard of the surge when it's something, all of a sudden, there's a surge of water that after you haven't used your taps for a while and you turn on the tap, you get that whoo, that surge. Well, this is a surge of the heart, and outpouring, if you like. A simple look towards heaven, a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. Both are prayer. If you can't always be joyful, you can always be joyful, that's not right. You can always be joyful, but there are not things about which to be joyful, like the events that happened yesterday in Ottawa. But you pray whether you're in trial or joy. Prayer, says St. Clement, is a conversation with God. Two ways. A conversation, as I said, is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. Both of us, initiated by God, and we respond. Prayer is a wine that makes glad the heart of men. And I always tell this little story. I have a younger brother who, one glass of wine and he's fine. The second glass of wine and he's all smiles, full of joy. That's what this is too. prayer is a wine that makes glad the heart. Prayer is the inner bath of love into which the soul plunges itself, says St. John Vianney, who is the patron saint of priests. What do you do when you take a bath? You just get into this tub and you fill the tub up. I'm sure most of you never take a bath. You always take a shower. But anyway, if you ever take a bath, that's what you fill it to there and just soak. Lie there. And this is the inner bath of love of your heart, which the soul plunges itself. And finally, St. Thomas Aquinas, which we forgot to put to give the recognition to, prayer says that prayer is an expression of man's desire for God. So in summary, what is prayer? Christian prayer. Not that I have anything against any prayer, but Christian prayer is different from other prayers because it has the very first word there that I put in red, covenant relationship. I'm going to leave the personal alone because prayer can be personal and communal, both. And it has to be both, actually. But covenant, what is a covenant? Well, a contract, what is a contract?
Client.
A what?
Between a client and...
Between two clients.
Yeah.
You are going to give me some service and I'm going to give you some money back for that service. That's a contract when you sign a contract. But a covenant is different. A covenant is a relationship between people. And one of the people is God. So it's a contract. It's different from a contract. It's a loving exchange of people. So Christian prayer then is this kind of loving exchange relationship between the living and true God. God, remember, is alive, just like you and I are alive on earth. He's alive everywhere. And true God is always love. Between true God and man, who is made in the image of the Creator, in communion with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Always we pray in the name of the Trinity, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we pray to God the Father through Christ always, who saved us by dying for us and gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. Christian prayer is a mystery. Mystery because if someone who doesn't believe in much in God or anything says, do you mean to tell me that you're going to have a relationship with a God, with God who created you? And you have to say yes, yes, yes. So, and it's a gift to be opened. Remember when we talked about faith was a gift to be opened? It wasn't to be shoved under the table and left there. To be opened and used. Okay, now the next part, kinds of prayer, and I've got about 5 pages here, but they're all very short. The first 2 kind of go together, so we stuck them together. Praise, worship, and adoration belong to God alone. Remember we talked about that when Darlene spoke about the rosary being a devotion to Mary, and it wasn't a worship or an adoration like the Mass. But then Christ himself said, in this story of the 10 lepers, which is the picture that you see there. There were 10 lepers. Now, you all know that the story of the 10 lepers, perhaps you remember the story of the 10 lepers, that our lepers were people that you never came near if you didn't have leprosy in Christ's time. But Christ never, he didn't care. He came, he touched them, he cured them. But he cured 10 of them. And only one came and worshipped and adored God, or adored Jesus as God. And our Lord asked him, he said, were there not 10 who were made clean? Where are the other 9? Well, one went home because, I suppose they all ran home because they hadn't been home for when they got their leprosy, they couldn't live at home. So they couldn't come in contact with anyone. So they were probably all very excited to get home, but nonetheless, God wants us to make our prayer a prayer of thanksgiving. Always start your prayer by, when you wake up in the morning, thank you, God, for another day. He didn't have to give you another day. Thank you for another day. Next type of prayer is intercessory prayer. And you probably wonder what's going on in this first picture. I've tried to make Old Testament, New Testament. That's Moses in the center. In the story of Exodus, in Exodus you'll find the story of Moses when he took his people into battle, his soldiers into battle. And as long as he kept his arms out to pray, and you notice the priest will often do that. That's to gather us all in for one reason, or to worship God. That's what we do with our arms. And so if he kept his arms up, they would win the battle. As soon as the arms began to sag because they were tired, they would start losing the battle. So what they did was they got Aaron and somebody else to hold the arms up. And then they got tired, so they put two big rocks underneath there to hold his arms up. But nonetheless, it sounds a little facetious, but it's the idea is that you are trying to include everyone. You're trying to worship God. That's what you're doing with your arms. Now, this is the wedding feast of Cana, where Christ came with all his disciple friends and his mother to the wedding feast. And you had to be pretty rich to put on a wedding feast at that time, because it went on and on and on, something like our Polish or Ukrainian weddings go on for 2 and 3 and 4 days. Well, that did too, but you had to provide the wine and the food. And the wine was running out. But our Lord says to his mother, I'm not ready to make the first miracle, to do the first miracle. And so, but he did. Because she asked him, and this is the kind of prayer she made, was intercessory. An intercessory prayer is a prayer of petition, but it's when you are asking for somebody else. You're not going to get anything of it, out of it. Now, he might have got some wine out of it, I don't know, but Our Lady probably didn't. So, but intercessory prayer is a prayer of petition that you make for somebody else. That's why we have intercessions, when we call them intercessions, when we pray at the Mass, tonight when we pray, and so on. Okay. Now, petition is the other kind of prayer. And you notice here I've got this woman, just a woman, and she is touching his cloak. The woman had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She was suffering from this disease in which she had a hemorrhage. And there were people all around Christ. And she got in the middle somewhere there, and she said, if I could just touch his cloak, I would be healed. And he knew, as soon as power went out of him when she touched his cloak, he knew that power had gone out of him. And he said, who touched me? And of course everyone laughed, because there were so many people around. Could have been anybody who touched him. But he knew. He said, your faith has saved you. Your faith, remember, faith, humility, those are all necessary for prayer. God knows what we need best, but he wants us to tell him or to ask him what we want. He knows what we want, but we have to ask him. Okay, another kind of prayers, repentance and blessing. These, again, are very close to the heart of Christ, because repentance, when we're sorry for what we've done that's wrong, whether we do it to God directly or whether we do it to our neighbor, who is made in the image and likeness of God. And I've got two examples there, where the prodigal son, you heard the story when we did the Bible stories, that's the New Testament, how he came back. I heard a different version from Father Stan this morning on the prodigal son, wasn't it, Father, eh? But anyway, and then Job in the Old Testament, remember Job, and Job would refuse to condemn God. His friends said, hey, you must have done something terribly wrong in your life, because that's what they thought. They thought if everything was cursing you, or if God was cursing you, they thought, then you did something terribly wrong in your life. And he lost everything. But what he kept saying was, God gives, God can take away. Blessed be the name of God. And he never gave in to any of this despair. Okay, that's the kinds of prayer. You've already talked about the Mass and the Eucharist, the highest form of prayer, because it contains and expresses we'll see in a moment how we're going to express all these kinds of prayer. But if we go through every one of those prayers, we'll find them in the Mass somewhere. The highest form of prayer contains them all and expresses them all. It's a recreation of the Paschal sacrifice, which we saw when we talked about. There's only ever one Mass because there is one sacrifice by Christ. And it's offered by Christ through the priest. And remember, it's a perfect sacrifice because you have to have a priest, which is Christ. You have to have a victim, which is Christ. You have to have complete destruction when you change the bread, when the priest, in the words of Jesus, changes the bread and wine to the body and blood of Christ. It becomes a pure offering of the whole body of Christ to the glory always of God's name. And I copied from the Eucharistic Prayer 3 because it's so beautiful. Father, you are holy indeed, and all creation rightly gives you praise. They should, if they don't. All life, all holiness comes from you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, by the working power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is always working within every one of us. From age to age, you gather a people to yourself. For thousands and thousands of years, God has been gathering people to himself, so that from east to west, a perfect offering may be made to the glory of your name. So the Mass. Then the Liturgy of the Hours, which is sometimes called the Divine Office, and sometimes just called Christian Prayer, which I brought one of my books here. This is the small print. I have one in large print. And there, I think you can get one that's probably about that size. The pages are so thin that I'm afraid to use it. Anyway, that is called the official prayer of the Church. The highest form is the Mass. But the official prayer, which priests must say, most nuns must say, and most people today, most lay people today, say them because it's a collection of psalms. It's the richest single prayer resource of the Christian Church, not only the clergy, but the whole people of God. And has existed from the earliest times because the Jewish people still pray. They pray the psalms. Next word, when. When do we pray? Prayer should be the breath of the soul. Now, when you're breathing, you don't say, okay, now I'm going to breathe. Now I'm not going to breathe. Now I'm going to breathe. You only do that when you're getting an x-ray, by the way. But otherwise, breath, the prayer is the breath of the soul, in just like prayer, the breath is the breath of the body, in which you don't even know you're doing it until you can't do it anymore. And pray when? Now and always, just like you breathe now and always until you die. The Catholic Catechism says that we cannot pray at all times if we don't pray at specific times. So I'm not saying when I say pray always, I mean pray always, but pray specifically at certain times with certain prayers. The Holy Spirit is offered to us all the time. He's always present in our souls, in the events of each day, whether you're changing a diaper or whether you're the President of the United States. It doesn't matter. To God, they're both the same actions. We are all given a job to do, as it were, a job, in quotation marks, to do with our lives. Whether the way we do them, the way we pray, is our individual going to God, our relationship with God. Origen was one of the Desert Fathers. He prays without ceasing, who unites prayer to good works and good works to prayer. And here I've got to prayer and fasting. The apostles were sent out by twos to cure. And oh, they were so excited because they were going to do all kinds of things that our Lord could do, cure people. But they came to one particular one. I think it was a demon in a young boy. I'm not positive if that's correct or not, but I think that's what it was. And they couldn't. They prayed and they prayed over him and they did everything over him, but they couldn't get rid of the demon. So they came back to our Lord and they said, Lord, we did so well. We cured this person and that person and that person. But when it came to this one, we couldn't do anything. Nothing would happen. And he said, that kind, as I'll quote, it says, he said to them, this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. Now, what is fasting? When you learn about Lent, you're going to learn more about fasting, but you can fast from many things. From anything you can fast. We usually think of food, chocolate first. It's what we usually think of, but that's not necessarily fasting. You can fast from watching television. You can fast from having sex. You can fast from anything that you want to fast. Video games and internet, that's right. Any of those things. Okay. No, you can't fast from prayer. That's one thing you can't fast from.
It is a prayer.
It is a prayer. That's what you offer, prayer and good works. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, it says in Acts, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So they had to pray and fast when they chose the deacons and the other people. Then after fasting and praying again in Acts, they laid their hands on them and sent them off to do their work. When do we pray? We pray in the morning when we rise, offering your day and asking God's blessing. If you don't belong to the apostleship of prayer, join. All of the apostleship of prayer is just Jesus, I give you my day today. Please help me to act and do everything according to your will. Period. Then you belong to the apostleship of prayer, which means you have joined every other person in the whole world who's making that prayer. Pray during the day short mantra prayers. What's a mantra? It's a repetitive short prayer that becomes a part of you. And something like, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, help me because I can't do this alone. Any short prayer that you can repeat over and over and over again that becomes a part of you. And pray them often during the day. Don't forget to pray before and after meals, or before meals anyway, to ask God's blessing, not only on your food and yourself, but on those like who don't have what we have. Both in religion, they are being crucified for their religion. Now the latest I heard was where they're killing the children in front of the parents so that the parents will give up something or other. Give up their religion, that's what it is. Okay, we pray during the day, and you can make Stations of the Cross, come to church if you like, other devotional prayers like the Rosary and so on. We pray in the evening. Always make an examination of your conscience before you go to bed. It doesn't have to be long and detailed. Just you know what you've done that's not quite what God would have preferred you to not to have done. And pray in the time of temptation and for final perseverance. Where do we pray? Here, everywhere. All circumstances, every place. You, as I said, you can be in solitude even when there are 1,000 people around you. Rising very early before dawn, Mark says, Jesus left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Or from Luke, in those days he departed to the mountain. When we think of a desert place, we think of somewhere that doesn't have anything that will distract you from as being pretty and good and stuff. It's just a dark, lonely place. And so therefore you can pray, you can concentrate better on God there. The same thing with the mountaintop. We always think of God as being up somewhere. We never think of him down, even though he's everywhere. We think of the mountain as the top place to pray. He spent the night in prayer. And then finally he came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom. Where? To the synagogue to pray. So that's what I said. Jesus learned to pray in community with his fellow parishioners, if you like. Why do we pray? All prayer has one basic reason: the restoration of that love relationship that God had with Adam and Eve before they fell. And that's the one he wants with each one of us. And then some of the saints said, Saint Ephrem said, virtues are formed by prayer. Virtues are the opposite of vices. So if you're, I think Darlene said last one time, didn't you say, that if you have the 7 deadly sins, we try to practice the opposite one that belongs to it. So if you're greedy...
Yeah, we'll park to that effect, and we'll be giving that out a couple of weeks from now. Yeah.
Okay. Prayer preserves temperance, suppresses anger, prevents emotions of pride and envy, draws into the soul the Holy Spirit, and raises man to heaven. Vital prayer, says the Catholic Catechism, is a vital necessity. How can we ask the Holy Spirit to stay with us if we don't, if our hearts are somewhere in, away from Him somewhere? And when we pray, we receive the strength of God's love. And again, in Romans, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Just meditate on that. Why do we pray again? Since, as St. John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth orator, said, it's impossible, utterly impossible, for a man who prays eagerly and invokes God ceaselessly ever to sin. And that, of course, is our goal in life, isn't it? Salvation, says St. Alphonsus Liguori, those who pray are certainly saved, those who don't are certainly damned. Feelings are not necessary, by the way. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, I feel just so great, God, thank you. That's fine, thank you. But if you don't feel it, but you're still saying, God, thank you for everything that you're giving me, and you can't feel a thing, that's good, then you're still praying. Always ask for the grace of a happy death and final perseverance, because that's the most important thing, time of your life. Moment of your life is the moment of your death, when you are going to die, and you want to be in God's grace. How do we pray? Now, Kathy and I went over this. All prayer starts with stilling the self. Darlene does that all the time before we pray in the evening here. She says, be still and know that He is God. Well, that comes from Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. If you concentrate and you say you know that this is God to whom you are conversing, with whom you are conversing, that you will have a perfect prayer. It starts with stilling and ends with contemplation, which I will tell you about in a minute. So these types of prayer that we just went through have to be expressed somehow. So the major expressions of prayer come from vocal, meditation, or contemplation. Now, vocal does not necessarily mean talking like I'm doing, talking and talking. You can say a vocal prayer in your mind. That's a prayer, like we always say in your little books, we always say a prayer. It means that you're mouthing the words, even if you're not doing it with your mouth, you're doing it in your heart. But you're making the prayer of certain words. And then meditation can be, the best way to do that is Lectio Divinae, where you take a piece of scripture. From scripture, you read it over several times, three or four times. What hits you in there? Then you think about that. Think how it affects your life. What is God trying to say to you there? And how are you going to react in your life with this particular piece of scripture? And finally, the contemplation. Contemplation is just simply sitting and being and knowing that this is God that you are sitting in His presence. And it doesn't mean that your mind is wandering on, well, I wonder where John is going to take me for my date tomorrow. That's not contemplation. Contemplation is sitting and knowing that you are in the presence of God. How do we pray? St. Jane Frances de Chantal says, the great method of prayer is to have none. If in going to prayer, one can form himself in oneself a pure capacity for receiving the Holy Spirit, in other words, for receiving God into your soul, so that you know that He is the Creator and you are merely a creature who depends entirely on Him, that will suffice for all method. Bishop Fulton Sheen, you probably are too young to remember who he was, but he was a very famous person, and actually they're fighting over him. Yes, okay. Prayer begins by talking to God and ends by listening to him. In the face of absolute truth, silence is the soul's silence and solitude. In silence, that means that you're washing away all those other thoughts of where you're going on your next date and so on. St. Faustina, most recent Polish nun, young nun, silence is so powerful a language that it reaches the throne of the living God. If you are silent in your soul and you're thinking about God, it reaches him every time. It's living and powerful. Lord, teach us to pray. The first, Matthew 6, the first few verses, Matthew tells us what to do before we pray. Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Now, you don't have to have a room to pray into. You can go into anywhere. As I said, I can come here and I can make this my prayer room, even though you're all here, if that's what it means to pray to your Father in secret. When you are praying, don't heap up empty phrases that you're not concentrating on. You're just repeating phrases that you've heard somewhere and your mind is wandering. Okay? The last 9 to 14 of Matthew 6 is the Lord's Prayer. And I was going to have us look that up, but you all know the Lord's Prayer, or at least you have a good idea of what it is like. The other prayers that you should know or that you should learn to be that become vocal prayers, even when you say them without using your lips. Hail Mary, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Acts of faith, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I love you. And this prayer I think you should say before you go to sleep every night. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Assist me in my last agony. May I breathe forth my soul in peace with you. So that if you die during the night, you're going to go straight to heaven. And your prayer to the guardian angel.
And all of these are in your Catholic handbook there in front of your book.
Yes. Okay. The major expressions of prayer, that means how do we pray them. And remember I said they all have in common the recollection of the heart. Vocal prayer I've already gone through, meditation and contemplation. Now, helps to prayer. You see here I have a whole lot of books. Lots of books. And that's only some of the books that we have on prayer at home. And I have not read all of them, but I've read a good number of them. And they all are different. And this one, for example, The Ascent of Mount Carmel. That's the story of John of the Cross. Now, this one here is a very good one. Heart to Heart with God, 6 Ways to Empower Your Prayer Life. It gives you a meditation, and then it asks you questions, and you can fill them out. And believe it or not, I filled that out.
I believe it.
Now, these, both of these are what we call prayer journals. And I'm not going to let you see those, because they're personal. They're my diaries. But this one is 2006, and I've got them in between, but... And it's based on mercy. You don't have to get a prayer journal. The reason I like them is because it gives me the thought for the day at the beginning. Christ is the wellspring of our life, says St. Hilary. And so then that becomes my thought for the day. This is the newest one, Draw Near to God. And Holy Communion keeps me full of joy. I find my consolation in my only companion who never leaves me.
No. Just show it. It's broken down like this. So the day is there, a little space for you to write in, a little thought, just a nugget to reflect on as a way of prayer.
That's all. And this is an excellent one. Let us become friends of Jesus, says Pope Benedict XVI. His meditations on prayer. Very simple reading. Where you persist in prayer, the Lord is present in his silence, Lord, teach us to pray, and so on. So if you can get a hold of some of these books. This one here is another little good one for meditation. It's just a cheap little book that I got from Novalis. I think I paid $1.25 for it. And it's Dom Main, John Main. Perhaps some of you have heard of him. his way of praying. He started these prayer groups in Montreal, and he talks about prayer and meditation. That's very good one too.
Okay.
And then Padre Pio, Mary, of course, for prayer, we always go to Mary. This one is a good one too because it has biblical quotation again. Then it has a question that you might want to ask. Then it has a prayer and a meditation and your daily application and concludes with another prayer. And so on. Now, prayer posture. This is when we used to be this high in school, we'd always have to march into school. And you had to keep your hands by your side. Or if you saluted the flag, your eyes would have to be directly on the flag. You couldn't look anywhere else. Well, that's posture. But prayer posture includes more than physical, the way you sit. And please sit if you want to sit or kneel. Don't loll around because it's very hard, said my English teacher, for ideas or prayers to float along the floor if you're lying there or lying somewhere way up to your brain. Whereas if you're sitting up straight and tall or standing straight and tall, then it's easy for the brain to absorb both directions. That's what she used to say to us.
1 minute,
okay. You notice the picture I have there, that's called a prayer corner, and you'll be hearing more about that next week, so I'm not going to talk more about that. I have some quotations if you want to put them in your prayer journal. The last slide, difficulties in prayer, and there are 4 D's. It was 3 D's. Distraction, discouragement, and dryness. But I added the devil, even though the devil includes all those other 3. If your heart wanders or is distracted, says St. Francis of Sales, bring it back to quite gently. Don't, if you have a mosquito, you can sit there and watch the mosquito taking your blood. If he fills his sucker, or whatever you call it, his leg with your blood, he will fly away and he won't hurt. But if you shoo it away and that, you're going to get his sucker in your skin and it's going to itch like mad. So gently take away your distractions. Don't wave. Don't keep saying, oh, get away from me. Get away from me, Satan. Because Satan will never leave you alone then, for sure. Replace it quite tenderly in the Master's presence. Just think, God, please help me. And even if you did nothing during the whole of your hour that you spent in the chapel, for example, but bring your heart back and place it again and again in the Lord's presence. Though it went away again and again, every time you brought it back, your hour of prayer will be well employed, says St. Francis of Sales. So don't ever become discouraged in prayer. This is a story of also the man who was getting company at midnight, and he didn't have anything to eat in his house. So he went to borrow some bread. And the one there says, hey, I'm in bed. I'm not getting up and opening the door. Why wouldn't he open the door? Because in that time, the doors were heavy, thick doors with great big beams put down, heavy beams put down so that you couldn't get in. The thieves couldn't get in. And so, but he did go because this one persisted. You've got to get up and give me something to eat. Okay, that's it. Prayer homework and prayer for home. I want you to read either Luke or 11:1-13 or Matthew 6:9-13, which is this, the Lord's Prayer, and say it. Read it every day, very slowly, thoughtfully, and pretend that you're one of the apostles and you said, Lord, please teach me to pray.
And if you need to take one of our Bibles home, go ahead and do that. Just remember to bring it back. Because you will be getting your own as a right of welcome. All right, so this will be our discussion after the break. So let us break until about 4:15.
That's fine.
Sound good? Thank you, Marcella.